session.
Welcome to Roll Call, a 126 air refueling wing podcast of the Illinois Air National Guard at Scott Air Force Base. The podcast focused on the people, mission, and community. I'm one of your hosts, Staff Sergeant Aaron Rodriguez. I bet there are a handful of people in the military, especially enlisted, that have a PhD, and a member of the 126 is about to become one. So stay with us to catch our host, Senior Master Sergeant Brian Ellison, speak with Tech Sergeant Rashad Adams about his educational journey and aspirations. But first, let's get to the news. Over 60 years ago, a huge historic milestone was reached for the wing. September 6, 1961, marked the first aerial refueling wing mission in the history of the Air National Guard. A 126 KC-97 Stratotanker refueled a 182nd F-84F Thunderstake and five additional fighter aircraft, starting a legacy of dedication to excellence. In today's news, Scott Air Force Base is hosting a 24-hour vigil run in honor of the National POW MIA Remembrance Day from September 18th to the 19th. So for 24 hours, the POW MIA flag will be continuously carried around the James Gym track. For more information, contact Tech Sergeant Presley Carlton. And if you're a member of the wing, check your emails for wingtips, where you can find information on upcoming events and opportunities. Let's get to the guest.
Joining us on the podcast, Tech Sergeant Rashad Adams from the 126th Logistics Readiness Squadron, Traffic Management. Rashad, thanks for joining us. I appreciate you coming in. You got freshly shorn for this. This is nice. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, sir.
No problems. No problems at all. So you're in Logistics Readiness Squadron, Traffic Management. What is traffic management?
So traffic management is Logistics Readiness, AFSC. We move aircraft parts primarily for our home airplane, the KC-135, in and outbound shipments. We also ship out passengers on our DFTs, on our KC-135s. We also set up a cargo deployment function, passenger deployment function, doing all of our readiness exercises across the wing, amongst shipping hazardous cargo to bases all over the world, and amongst a number of other things, logistics.
Holy cow! So that's a lot to do. What do you do mostly on a daily basis? Because you're not shipping out people all the time, are you?
No, our passenger processing usually comes through most like around summer DFT season. But okay. We do use our BMT shippers. We process all their tickets. We send them out third party for their Southwest Airlines to get them down to San Antonio to start their basic military training. But day to day, we work with our just normal partners, UPS, FedEx, FedEx Express, getting parts in, MyCaps, getting them over to MSS to put on our aircraft to keep the aircrafts in flight, shipping outbound parts to other bases to also help keep their functions and missions going.
You're getting your PhD.
Yes.
What's your PhD in?
So I'm a fourth year PhD student at St. Louis University, Public Health Studies, Concentration Epidemiology, which is a fancy term for disease studying and tracking.
Oh, wow.
Something I've been interested in. Really, I would say all my life. Fun fact, I did want to be, when I first came to the unit in 2016, I enlisted. I had the goal of becoming a physical therapist. That was my dream job.
Okay.
Now, how that changed from 2016 until 2019, I don't know. But once I got in touch with public health, I went to SIUE for my master's. Okay. And I got my master's in public health. I was actually going for exercise physiology and then was going to transfer over to a physical therapy school after that 1 year accelerated program. But that didn't happen. I found public health and I fell in love with it ever since.
Really?
It's like that good balance between not being a clinical RN nurse and having some clinical knowledge on different like public health factors. A little mix of social work in there a little bit. So it's kind of like an all-encompassing field. I never wanted to be a bedside nurse. It's a lot of pressure. A lot of pressure.
So you're in your fourth year. How many years is this program?
So it's 4 years. I'm doing the victory lap, as we call it in academia. So I'm coming out, graduating December 2026. So what I did was we have a written comprehensive exam. A fun fact, I actually was about to start that exam. They give you 1 week, no help from anyone. You have to write a full research paper, turn it in to your director of your program, and then an anonymous board comes together picture like a promotion board, but you don't know who's going to be on the board, and you don't know how they're going to grade your written questions. So I actually, I could talk about this now. I got tasked with jury duty. So that actually derailed me for a whole semester. I can laugh about it now, but that derailed me. I was supposed to be done next May. So that pushed me back a semester. But I think it was supposed to happen that way. I don't know why. But I'm glad I didn't rush this time. My past 2 degrees, I rushed. But taking it one day at a time now.
So how old were you when you joined in 2016?
Oh, I'm 30 now.
So you were probably...
What's this, 2025? So not 22, 21.
21, 22. Mm-hmm. Did you have a four-year... were you working on a four-year degree by then?
I was actually in my last semester of my bachelor's. I really wish I can say my grandfather, when I was in high school, he told me, just look at it. Just look. I'm like, no, I'm going to college. No, I'm going to college. No, I'm going to college. No, no, no. And here I am. What is this? 9 years later. It'll be 9 years next month. 9 years later, here I am.
That's cool. So your grandpa, he encouraged you to join the Guard?
He didn't encourage me to join the Guard. He actually just told me to look at the military in general. He's not even a vet, but he just know how good the benefits are. Had a cousin actually was 126 Security Forces. She actually encouraged me to join the Guard. So,
where'd you get your bachelor's in?
I went to Western Illinois University.
What's that, McKendree?
Macomb. It's like 3 hours away.
Yeah, that's it. What was your bachelor's in?
So I went back then, physical therapy. I went for exercise science.
Oh, okay.
Really enjoyed that program. Like, that'd be a good precursor to going to PT school. That'd look good on my resume. So I finished that degree. I used a little bit. I'm kind of glad I do because I'm a UFPM now in the unit. So having kind of a little bit of knowledge of that kind of helps me in that additional duty a little bit.
Right.
So, yeah.
And then you got your, what'd you get your master's in?
Public health.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I took like 2 gap years for BMT in tech school.
Sure.
And then I went back fall of 19.
Wow. What benefits have you used your education benefits?
So I really wish I would have came in right after high school because I could have got it. Everything. I know you have the Illinois Guard grant for public state schools in the state for us.
Right.
That's available. But again, did a little backwards, but that's okay. I did use my Illinois Guard grant, pay for my master's degree completely. And of course, I was an adult. I wasn't a traditional student at that point in my life. So of course, I had my own apartment where I had to pay my own utilities and things. But the Guard grant took care of my tuition, and I had a very small student fee I had to pay out of pocket at SIUE. It took care of everything. Took care of everything.
That's cool. How are you paying for your PhD?
So my PhD, I'm on a private fellowship now.
Oh, okay.
But I am using my Montgomery GI Bill Chapter 1606.
Oh. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that they paid for PhDs, or they just paid for one degree or something.
So
like that.
The Illinois Guard grant there, that's a public Illinois state school. I went to Southern Illinois, Edwardsville for that one.
Oh, okay.
So that just sent from Illinois to Illinois.
Right.
And then they paid for that one. And now with me going to school technically over in Missouri,
right,
remotely, I'm using a private fellowship. And with that private fellowship, I'm using my 1606 Guard grant.
Oh, okay.
During this process. I didn't use my 1606 during my master's degree time.
You were talking about, you know, you took a break, a gap year for BMT and your tech school.
Mm-hmm.
How long's your tech school?
Back then, it was 45 academic days. I was at Fort Lee, which is now Fort Gregg Adams in Virginia.
Yeah, Fort Lee. Okay, yeah. And that's a home of, what, Army Transportation or something like that?
I wasn't too familiar with the Army functions. I know Air Force-wise, that's the home of services, air transportation. We have a certain certification we carry in the logistics world, our hazmat preparer class, mm-hmm. and then you have transportation, which is my AFSC. So it's 3 AFSCs and 1 certification for Air Force people. Well, I take that back. The hazmat is DOD-wide.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That's cool. So 45 days, how long were you there at Fort Lee?
I think I graduated BMT sometime in October. between us flying in, moving out, they had a thing. People probably don't know. We had a thing called Airman's Week after basic training. It was a transitional period. Kind of gave you a little more freedom before they took you down to your tech school location. Oh, so okay. Between BMT graduation weekend and graduation from tech school, I think I got to the 126. I remember it was like the second week of January 2018. So kind of like 2 months.
Oh, that's not bad.
Between travel, home, here, Christmas, Exodus. So, yeah, maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
Went bad. But we had holidays in there, too. So sure. It kind of pushed us back. We would have been done maybe a week or two early. I was there for Christmas and Thanksgiving. But thankfully, I got to come home and see my family for Christmas.
Oh, that's cool. So we were talking about your PhD. Mm-hmm. And you're in your fourth year at SLU.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going in person?
No. I'm in the dissertation phase. So oh, okay. Thankfully, classwork is done. I did go in person the first 2 years.
Okay.
I did go in person. We had in-person courses, had to get those research prereqs done. So now it's just virtual.
Oh, mm-hmm. Interesting. What's your dissertation?
Well, I actually just started 2 days ago.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, so I'm thinking about, I know I'm going to be working with some form of gun violence. I think I want to kind of look at how gun violence affects post-secondary institutions, whether that's a community college or a university. It's really something to think about. If you think about buildings being open from 9 to 5, anyone could walk in during the day, and we want to prevent those. I know we can't eradicate, but I want my research to be in the field to do my best to prevent that or find ways for policyholders in each state to have further prevention methods for people getting harmed, gun violence.
That's cool. So you just started your dissertation mm-hmm. 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
So what is it? You just got to do a lot of research? Is that what you got to do?
Research, writing, and editing.
Oh, wow.
So it's really like four phase. Classwork, written exam. So now I'm in the phase I'm doing my proposal. So I have to go around, get a committee of, faculty members within the College of Public Health. And then I'll do a proposal, let them know this is what I want to do my research on. Then the final stage will be defense. This is what I did. This is how I want it to be applied in the field. And then this is my coin to the public health field at large in the U.S. So
wow.
It's a process, but I'm just like, year and a half, I can make it. I will not be stepping foot back in the classroom.
So you got a year and a half to write it? Is that basically what it is?
Yep. So basically, I think I need to have everything polished and done November 26th, hopefully present before next Thanksgiving, and then get the go-ahead to graduate.
Your dissertation. So you just started 2 days ago. Where are you going to find the time? How do you find the time to do all this?
I just always had a motto. You have to make time for things you love. I've come so far. I'm like, I just can't let myself stop. Now I've wanted to stop. It's been times I've wanted like, you know what? Maybe I'm just stick with my master's and just go ahead on. But I've come so far now. Seriously. I can't stop because I think if I did, I would regret it.
Oh, certainly.
So I'm like, I just have to push. I find the time. I usually balance my time well between drills and doing PT and having social life, family life. You just have to find the time. It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's very doable. Even if you have to take one class a semester, it's doable. You can do it. You can do it.
Right on. Okay, anything else I need to ask you? Anything else you want to add?
No. I would like to just say to everyone at the 126 LRS, Commander down to my shop leads and supervisors, I thank you all from the bottom of my heart for helping me throughout this time. Just not with my PhD, just since I walked in as an A1C, you all have been in my corner, and I thank you all so much.
All right, well, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me today.
A collaborative combat aircraft platform, or CCA, conducted flight testing at a California test location. This new unmanned aircraft could one day fly alongside new and existing crewed fighter jets and be equipped for air-to-air and air-to-ground combat, electronic warfare, targeting, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. This milestone test took place less than 2 years since the program began and provided information on the aircraft's safety, autonomy, and mission system integration. CCA is a key component of the Next Generation Air Dominance family of systems and reflects a new model for software-defined modular air power. The first flight using an alternative navigation software aboard an Osprey Mark III unmanned aircraft took place at Duke Field near Eglin Air Force Base, Florida. This test examined the feasibility of providing an aircraft or weapon with its own internal GPS rather than using external sources, which are prone to issues that deny the aircraft the ability to maneuver in a combat environment. The long-term goal of alternative navigation is for the force to gain a new capability navigating in contested environments with a low size, weight, power, and cost solution. A new HH-60W Jolly Green 2 rescue helicopter conducted the first overwater countermeasure test during an engagement with an F-15D Eagle near Moffett Air National Guard Base, California. This first-of-its-kind aerial engagement simulated real-world scenarios to test the Jolly Green's countermeasures and defensive capabilities against modern aerial threats over water. Test data will be used for future training and equipment upgrades aimed at increasing survivability of rescue helicopters as the Jolly Green replaces the HH-60G Pavehawk. That's your look around the Air Force. I'm Senior Airman Spencer Perkins.
Thank you for listening. If you want to pass along some information, you can email Roll Call at our really long email called 126.arw.pa.mm.org@us.af.mil. And you can see the rest of our content by going to our link tree in the link provided. And again, thank you for listening to Roll Call, a 126 Air Refueling Wing podcast focused on people, mission, and community. Until next time.
Good on approach and landing.
500 stable.